Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. I am your host, 57, and I am super excited to be here to have survived another Wednesday. These Wednesdays are getting more and more hectic. I think they're building up to some big explosion. I'm not quite sure, but either way, I need to get ready for it. But we had a wonderful, wonderful day. We're almost in triple digits down here in South Georgia, so I hope everyone else is doing at least not triple digits. We're not trying to melt away. I want to say shout out to my South Carolina study crew, and, you know, I have a couple of houses represented on the line. Some of our Mother Eagle Ministry people are here. Of course, Wonderful Approach Angels are there. So I just want to say greetings to everyone on a Wednesday. This is the radio program, and we love to do this. Every Wednesday, we get together, and we talk about issues from a spiritual perspective. I absolutely love the show. We've been doing the show for a year and a half, but there are some changes that have recently happened with the show. I'm not at all surprised at changes. This is the year of change. I don't know anyone who has not changed jobs, changes in relationships, changes in housing, changes in career, not just moving from one job to the next, but whole positions. I mean, it has been about change. Honestly, there's been a lot of transitioning, people going home to the ancestors. It has been hectic. But with that change, if you can be aware of the change, if you can learn to breathe through the change, you are better for it. All of these changes that I've had the opportunity to witness, there's always a little silver lining in the end. There's always something that we were supposed to get, some lesson, some something, that we were supposed to get from this change, from this transition, whether it was to show how you perform in hectic situations, whether it is, no matter what you were learning, no matter what you were testing out, there should have been a lesson in the middle of the transition. So A Wonderful Approach is no different. We've had changes. One of the big changes that we just experienced is our lovely co-host, Mama Khadija, has decided that Spirit decided for her. But she was decided that she really needed to be able to focus more of her time and energy on some of the other projects that they've given her. So after a year and a half of having her with us, she has, she's retired from full-time co-hosting. You know, I have a feeling that she'll be back and forth with us as many people, you know, get to check us out and everything like that. I have a feeling she'll be back and forth just to, you know, give us that elder's thumbs up to share with us, you know, more information that we may not have thought of, more information that, you know, needs to be added to. However, you know, we're always very open to having that elder approval because that really means that we're hitting on something. Really, really does. So I have a feeling that she'll be coming back checking this out. But we wish her well on her journey as she starts to really think about this other project, super big project. And I'm sure that once she gets started, she'll be coming back to the radio to let us all know about it and how we could be involved with it and everything else like that. But it just, as I was thinking about that change, as I was thinking about radio change, as I was thinking about, as everyone, you know, all the A Wonderful Approach family knows, come November, we have some major changes coming up. So everyone is changing. Not all changes, though, were sanctioned. Not everybody's had the opportunity to stop and say, hey, I want this change. I want to do this. Some of these changes are kind of dropped on our lap with or without our help, guidance. You know, some of it we just had to deal with, you know. And so when you're in those types of situations, you have to think about some things. And one of the reasons everyone knows this is a spiritual program, but what everybody may not know is that not only is it a spiritual program, all of the topics that come about are spiritually led. You know, when I find that I've had a conversation three times, I'm like, okay, stop. There's something going on. And sometimes I get embarrassed, like, oh, you know, spirits, like, did it really take you three times to figure out I was trying to communicate with you? And sometimes it does. Sometimes I just wasn't all the way. But, you know, I've had this conversation at least three times in the past 7 days. And so I was like, okay, I need to bring this to the masses, to the family at large. And what kept coming up is what I wish I knew. I wish I knew these things. I wish I had this information. I had a sister say, I wish I had this information when I was 20 years younger. You know, I've had conversations, I wish I had this information last week, you know. And sometimes when we're caught up in our own life, our own understanding, sometimes we think that we're just struggling to stay afloat our own selves. But really, we have knowledge that we can be sharing with people that can help save them this bump in the road and that bump in the road. And anytime someone saves you a half inch of work, take it. Take it. You know, let us start to kind of look around and not make the same mistakes over and over. Let's really say, let's be dedicated to learning these mistakes and learning what we need to so we don't have to keep repeating them. So when it came to this week's show, you know, the first show that we're doing without the co-host, I was like, oh, yeah, there's definitely some things that I wish I knew. And as the family already knows, we're not changing that format up. This is an interactive show, meaning all you have to do is press 1, and that lets me know that you'd like to speak on the radio program. We love to have callers call in. We have a knowledge base. You know, I feel very good about the people that listen to the show on a regular, and I feel good about the things that they bring to the program, to the point where that I come to the program every day with my pen and paper because I know somebody's going to say something, someone's going to share something, and I don't want to miss it, not a little bit. And so that program has not changed. So all you have to do, if you'd like to join us, is press 1 on your phone, and that will let you know, okay, I would like to share some things. And if you want to check out the wonderful send-off that Mama Khadija had, all you have to do is go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All of the older shows are there, and there are some really nice shows. There are some shows that are getting the callers up into the hundreds, you know. And I'm trying to understand the rhythm as to why certain shows get this big boom and why they don't. But in the meanwhile, all I can say is to those people that make that contribution to the radio, there are people that are listening. There are people that actually make time out of their day and to listen and to check back and to re-listen to shows and everything like that. So I really, really, you know, appreciate that. And I want to encourage everyone, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to share with the people because that's how we all do better. When you know better, you do better. So in this particular topic, I'm expecting some of that wisdom to come forward because I know a wonderful approach is not slackers. You know, I know that I have the pleasure of working with people that really, really study. And I don't want this knowledge to be wasted, and I don't want it to be overlooked. Sometimes we overlook what we have to offer until you see somebody about to make that same mistake, and then you say, okay, hold on. Before you get to that mistake, let me pull your coattail. So if you would like to join into the conversation, please, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know. When this came up, one of the first things I thought about, what I wish I knew. If I were thinking about my younger self, if I were thinking about little Khadija, that, you know, 20 years ago, did I go to, yeah, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, what would I tell her? I would probably tell her that it doesn't have to be perfect right now. That's what I would tell her. And then, because she's not going to believe me that it'll never be perfect, you know, there's not a perfect, and you're not responsible for the perfect. She's not going to believe that. But what I need her to know is that, you know, you can relax a little bit. Perfection is not needed, just good effort is. So, you know, I look back, I see so many young people, and I'm not to be young to me, oh, I need a 6 months. I'll call you young in a minute. But I see so many people that work to have a level of perfection right where they are. And I'm like, there's not a moment in time where we're going to stop what we're doing and hand it over to God. We are a work in progress. Thank goodness. We are not, you know, it's not like, okay, this is what you're going to turn into God. God is always with us. He's always watching. And for me, that works in my favor, because I don't know if there is a time where I can say my prayer life is perfect, my ritual is perfect, my shrines are perfect, my language and behavior is perfect. I don't know if I've had that perfect moment. And if I did, I was probably asleep. You know, I was probably very, very unaware of what I was doing. So if I could tell anybody, I would say that understand that it's definitely a journey, it's a process, and to, you know, don't look for the perfection. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to be, you know, this absolute perfect being, but work on, be diligent in your work, you know, without being extra with it. I think, you know, when we try to have that perfection in place, when we don't achieve it, we give up on everything. So rather than giving up on everything or being so radical that you miss the point, you know, being so radical that, you know, you're not really enjoying your life, there's definitely, you know, we have to work through that. So one of the things that I wish that I knew when I was younger was that there was not a moment where this had to be perfect, that this was definitely a journey. It was a work in progress. It was, I don't know if you've ever done the long math and you had to show your work. And even if you got the wrong answer, if you showed your work, the teacher would give you credit for your effort. I believe that God is like that, to where we can actually get some of our credit by trying, by having our intention. You know, a lot of people say, you know, oh, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. You know, or they'll say, and I said this earlier today, you know, charge it to my head, not my heart. And what that's doing is just saying, you know, it's not me. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm very human. And, you know, please don't take this personal. If I've made a mistake, don't let it be something that you wish upon me or anything like that. So, you know, that was one thing that I wish I knew, is that it didn't have to be perfect. So if there's anything that you can think of that you would like to share, like I said, press 1, and that's going to let us know how to have one of us miss one of those mistakes. Sometimes we get afraid of making mistakes to the point where we become immobilized. I've seen people literally immobilized by fear, or they'll stay in a bad situation for fear of not knowing what the other situation would be. And, so we have to get to the point where we're not allowing fear to guide us at all, okay? I know it's hard. I know it's easier to say, okay, look, let this other person figure it out, or shifting blame when there shouldn't be any blame at all. You know, and these are just things that most people have to learn as they're growing up in their life. You know, so it's not like you have to be perfect. I wish I could take that perfect out. I wish I could take balance, those words out, perfect, balance. I wish I could remove fear from every person's heart. Fear is something that holds us down. It doesn't let us go any further. And I believe that fear is false evidence appearing real. Sometimes the things that we're afraid of aren't even real, aren't even real things to be worried about. But we'll be fearful anyways. The fear that I wish, if I could remove it, any of it, I wish people would stop worrying what other people thought. What I wish I knew is that other people's opinions don't make you. Okay? And it's hard because, you know, everyone is thinking, oh, I'm being judged. You're not being judged. You're only being judged by you. And anyone else who's judging you doesn't have the authority to judge you. Their judgment doesn't go all the way up to the ladder. You know what I'm saying? So we have to get out of the idea of thinking that judgment's bad. Judgment's not bad when it's coming from somebody who doesn't have any authority in your life. So if we can take some of the things that we wish we knew, and I went down myself. One, it's a journey, not a final destination. Two, don't worry about judgment. Don't worry about other people's judgment. We have the pleasure of serving a very merciful God. We have the pleasure of serving a God that loves us. We have a pleasure of serving a God that knows that we're human and knows we make mistakes. And that alone allows me to continue. If I didn't think that I could be forgiven for some of the mistakes that I've made, that would make me kind of give up, because I have made mistakes. As a young person, as an older person, I'm sure even as I get even older, I'll still be making mistakes. So I really, you know, am very grateful that I don't have to worry about every little mistake that I make. I'm very thankful that I know that God's not going to charge it to, you know, I don't have a credit account where one sin and one good deed equal each other. It doesn't work like that. Okay. I need that to be clear, because Spirit's over here in my ear talking. One sin and one good deed, do that equal each other? So we can get out of the habit of being lax about the things that we don't need to do, and stop thinking that you can buy your way into heaven. It doesn't work like that. You know, you don't get to have poor character over here, and if you hit that, you know, tithing box good, then you'll be free. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. You have to understand spirituality is about a relationship with spirit. That's what we're working on. That's what we're trying to grow. We're trying to have a relationship with spirit in 2019. So this isn't even something that we'll do only on Wednesday. And this isn't something that we'll do only when, we go to retreat or something like that. This is something that we have to learn how to live. So we have to learn how to live an improved life. And in that improved life, then we have these things that we need to know. So what I wish I knew, one, it's a journey. Two, don't worry about judgment. Three, please let the fear go. Whatever you're afraid of, whatever you thought was going to swallow you, whatever you thought you couldn't live past, whatever you thought had a hold on you, and let that go. Let that go. And a lot of times fear isn't holding us. We're holding the fear. Many times it's not what we think or what we've done. Is this fear will have us in this stagnant place, and we can't do anything about it because we've given our power over to something that never had power over you in the first place. Never, never. You know, I'm afraid to lose my job. Why? There are other jobs. There are other opportunities, even if you have to move, even if you have to get more education, even if you have to create your own job. But there's no reason to fear losing the job. If it's yours, it'll be for you for as long as it is. And if it's not for you, you can't hold it. You're not going to be able to hold it. So we have to start to evaluate some of the things that we wish we knew and share with others that you see coming up in the ranks. When you see, you know, I don't want to say a young person, but anyone under 40 is young to me, you know, but when you see someone that's coming up and you see them tripping over some of the same stones you did, do not hesitate to reach over and say, hey, look, you don't have to trip over that stone. You can walk around it. You can borrow my boots for a minute. You can walk on it. There are all kinds of things you can do. So I think we have a responsibility to each other. You know, one thing Mama Khadija always spoke about was the toolbox. And, I mean, for a year and a half, we've been hearing about the toolbox. And that's because there were certain issues and topics that kept coming up. No matter what topic we spoke about, these underlying characteristics would keep showing up. One of the things that kept showing up, and one of the things I'm kind of big on, is being my sister's keeper. Being my brother's keeper, having that mentorship going on. You know, one thing I wish I knew is that I didn't have to do it alone either. You know, there are a lot of people that are waiting for either their mate to come and to help them out. There are people that are waiting for the perfect opportunity. There are people that are just, because they've been burnt and hurt by people, they don't trust. And so it's hard for them to trust other people. And they're carrying a big burden where if we could break that thing down and divide it up by five, no one would feel the burden at all. Not at all. But because of past history and all this other stuff, junk, we find ourselves in, we don't want to trust. And we don't want to have people help us, but we do absolutely need it. So one thing I wish I knew, speaking to my older self, speaking to myself, I would say even 6 or 7 years ago. So, you know, these were things that I was still learning, you know, 6, 7 years ago. Very, very recent. I wish I knew I didn't have to do it by myself. I wish that I had a more trust in my sister friends. I wish I had more trust in the brethren. And so that would have definitely, I think, made my load a lot easier. So what I say to those that are coming up now, if your burden feels heavy, sit down and think about it for a minute. Evaluate this heavy burden that you're trying to carry. And then think about, do you really need this right now? And is there someone that can help you with this? Sometimes what I found helpful even can be an ear, just someone that I feel I could talk to that I don't have to worry about them judging me on the back end, somebody who I feel I could talk to and you didn't have to worry about your money slipping out the door, your man slipping out the door, your whatever, your secrets getting out. Everyone needs that keeper, someone that's going to say, hey, I want to be there for you. I want to be there for you when you're, you know, having these moments, when things aren't going quite right. You know, I just want to be there for you. I want to be that person for you. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs that. I know we just got finished with a 30-day fast. The 30-day fast was real. It was all, you know, about our devotion. Everyone was working on something different. We had those people that were working on precision of language. We had people that were actually doing the full fast, sun up to sundown fast. We had people that were working on whites, people that were working on, no one should have been eating fast food that month. But, you know, there was a lot of work going on for 30 days. 30 days we devoted to ourselves, you know. And during that time, I said, wow, this is difficult. Not everybody knows how to fast. Not everybody knows that you'll have good days and bad days. And so I was like, let's get fast buddies. And so everyone that participated in fast, and there were 17 of us, which is the largest number that a Wonderful Approach has had doing this fast. That's a lot. That's huge. I think last year, I think we had 3, and then we went to 17. And then next year, I hate to say this, but I went 30. But for those 17 people that did the fast, that woke up each morning and started their day with prayer and went through the day abstaining for God, for the benefit of God, to elevate their energy, whether no matter what they were abstaining from or for, there were people that were intentionally abstaining. And then ending each day with writing, with journaling, with research. I mean, A Wonderful Approach, we get it in. We do the work. So for 30 days we did that. And Spirit was like, everyone needs a fast buddy. And so we weren't trying to do this by ourselves. Everyone has someone to call, not only for the benefit of them calling you, but for the benefit of you calling them. You know, everybody needed a little help in this. Everybody needed a place to say, ooh, I'm having a rough day. Oh, this is getting horrible. Oh, what did that 7 talk me into? So the fast buddies were so helpful. Most fast buddies, I think everyone that was linked up with their fast buddy, they still have a relationship with them. They're still calling. They're still texting. They're still reaching out for them. And the fast buddy is like, hey, I know you. I know what you're fasting for. I know your goals. I want to support you in these goals. And so for me, I was so pleased to see us supporting each other. You know, we did that fast kind of like in a circle. We were all on one level. We were all working together to benefit ourselves and to grow. And but it took a group effort. It wasn't just me doing the leading, and it wasn't just everyone, you know, coming to me. People really benefited from the fast buddies. So that's just a very recent, and this was months ago. This was right around the corner. So that's just one of the recent, very, very recent times where I can tell you many hands make light work. That's one of the few times I can tell you we needed our brothers and our sister keepers to keep up with us and to help encourage us on our fast. You know, this was one of the times where we could say, hey, look, I got, you know, we had an agenda, we had a checklist. We could see I'm getting the work in. So, you know, that was another thing that I wanted to show everyone. You don't have to do this by yourself. You can be supportive. You can really extend yourself right now. You don't have to be a guru. Okay, everyone always wants, you know, I am being very, very gentle in my words, but priests are not the only people, that's not the only level where assistance can come from. There are lots of different levels where assistance can come from, you know. So one thing that I wish I knew, like I said, as far as 6 or 7 years ago, was that I didn't have to do it all myself. I could get some help. It still counts in my favor if I get help. You know, it's not like I'm seen less than if I raise my hand and say, you know, I could use a little help carrying this back to the shore, whatever, whatever. So, you know, that's something that I wish I knew. That's something I wish more people knew as well. You know, if you don't have a good support system, you're going to really, really struggle, not just with spirituality, with life. We all need support, you know, and not just family members. We love our family members, but, you know, sometimes we need places where it's not family, where it is, you know, people that are with you and down for you just because, not because you were born to this family or anything else like that. You're with people that love you because they just love you like that. So another one of the things that I wish I knew is that I didn't have to do it alone. You know, I think about the radio program. You know, up until last week, you know, Mama Khadija was a very active role in the radio program. We call in with her checklist. I'm going to have to get a couple checklists. I'm going to put somebody on checklist duty, actually. But, you know, they would call. She would call in with her checklist. She'd have her callers, her people call in, and she would call out those first-time callers. She was excellent, those first-time callers. But, you know, she was a part of something that was really, really near dear to my heart, trying to get this program situated so that we can be of help to people. So even that was a lesson I'm learning 18 months ago. That close. You don't have to do this by yourself. You can work with other people. So there's a lot, those are things that I'm learning, and I'm actively learning. I have I'm on my cousin's network, and she has a radio program, and me and her will have quarterly meetings just to share, hey, what do you know about this? How do you know about this? What can be helpful in all of this? So we're always, if you are serious about life, you find that you have to be a good teacher and a good student at the same time. I don't know anyone who gets to teach and not learn, and it's usually done at the same time. So if you are just teaching, you're just sharing, no, you're not really teaching. You may be, I don't want to say running your mouth, you may be sharing words, but until you are actively learning with them and growing with them, you're not reaching them in a way that that you could, in a way that's authentic. So there's a lot of things that we wish we knew. I have a caller, and I know this call. This is my dear sister, Omi Shayun. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, sister. How you doing?
I am well. I'm getting ready for Sapelo.
I probably see you there.
Yes, I think you will. Everyone knows Omi Shayun. We go back. This is the weekend right before the big super retreat. And we have so much fun doing that. Omi Shayun's a house mother. I'm a house mother. You will get mothered. You will get nurtured. And, you know, Omi Shayun is one of those few people that can say, oh, I was 7, I remember when. You know, she got to witness a lot of my growth and development and what, as I was learning.
Right.
As I was learning. So share with us, in your words of wisdom, what you wish you knew. Was there anything in particular you were like, man, this really made a difference in my life?
Well, it might be a little bit on the morbid side, but I wish I knew that my husband and mother were that sick before they passed away. Just to say, maybe, well, just to say, not just to say, but, you know, you pray and say you don't want them to go. You know,
right.
Your mother and your husband passed, what, like 2 years between each other, and you get floored by it. So I just wish I knew that there was medicine out there cause, to help their conditions. I wish I knew. I won't say what their status is now because I know where they are. And, you know, they watching over the family and friends, wherever they may be. But I just wish I knew that I had more time, you know, just to not to say those, you know, get upset at the silly stuff. Now it's silly. Back then it might have been serious. So
yeah, you said some words right there.
So that's, you know, and sometimes when I was younger or now, I wish I knew what was ahead for me. You know, you make your plans, and not all the time they go the way you want to. You know, you say something like, well, I have an extra $20. Let me go ahead and pay this bill. But you turn around and look, you might need gas in the car or a tire blows out or whatever. And you just, you know, some things you just have to take in stride, take a deep breath, put on your big girl panties or your big boy jockeys. And I have my little 2 minute pity party, and I say, what the hell? Let's go. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you just have to you just have to run with it. I mean, what else can you do? You know? So you know, those are, you know, it's one of those Arsenio Hall moments. You know. But some days I get a little bit too deep for myself, and I have to pull myself back out and just, you know, take it one day at a time. But are you doing good,
wonderful
sis?
Advice. Thank you so much. But that's wonderful advice right there. I'm taking my notes. I can't help it, Sammy. I'm sorry. I don't let knowledge pass me by. So I wanted to go ahead and jot that down. But thank you so much for calling in and listening to the show and everything like that. You know, I really do appreciate the time that people take to listen. You know, this is not, you know, people ain't just sitting around doing nothing for a whole hour and a half. So I really recognize the time and the investment. I appreciate it. So thank you so much, sis, for calling in, okay?
Okay, honey. See you later. Oh, I'll call you later,
right,
too.
See you very soon. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I got that.
Okay.
All right. You know, one thing she said, I got to repeat this, not to waste time. Time is precious. She ain't never lied about that. I have had some of the most ignorant conversations, arguments with people, and now, in hindsight, I'm like, what was the purpose of that? That was time wasted. That, you know, now this person's not here, or, you know, things have changed to the point where, you know, I can't have this conversation. You know, those moments are past. So I do find that we waste time, we waste energy, and not knowing when someone's going to be taken out of our life for whatever reason, transitioning, just God moves them in another direction or whatever, you do start to go back and look at the time that was wasted, sleeping on the couch, I'll say. You know what I'm saying? Just the time that we, you know, that we people will intentionally separate ourselves or have arguments over something that when after you big picture it, it is very small in the big picture of things. So, yeah. And I, like I said, I know quite a few people wasting time, wasting energy, not realizing that time is precious and time's out for no man, none, promise you. It doesn't matter how cute you are, time is still going to tick on you, you know. So that's something that we all need to have a healthy respect for, you know, and understand. Live your life. Don't waste the time. Don't waste the time arguing. You know, the arguing make you old, you know, give you wrinkles and all this other stuff. But don't waste the time. I like that. Thank you. And the advice was to take one day at a time. Ooh, Lord. I think if I took one day at a time, if I wasn't trying to get everything perfect, I'd have a different mindset. My whole brain would be different. Everything about me would be different because I would not put so much pressure on myself, you know? There's a way to be diligent without having the pressure, I think. I know. So, yeah, thank you so much for calling in. I have another caller that I'd like to get to because I don't want to waste any words today. So hold on for just one second. I believe this is my dear sister Melissa. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Show is. Good afternoon. I am good. Trying to get my house in order.
Yes, ma'am.
The only thing that comes to my mind about something I wish I had knew way back when, you know, hindsight is just such a perfect vision.
It is.
Is I am worthy. That's what I
Amen.
Wish I knew. I am worthy. I wish I had knew that, you know, back when I was, like, young enough to start understanding people and how things come into play and not to take things so personally and put on some thicker skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you're saying that I'm worthy, were you focusing more on what you thought about you or what other people thought?
It all depends on what stage in my life that we're talking about. But in the earlier stages, the forming of your self-esteem stages, I wish it was what other people would have thought about me because of the bullying that I had experienced. It made me really feel like I'm ugly and I look funny and, you know, I really believed it. So even to this day, there's friends who tell me I'm a gorgeous person and I just like whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're like, somebody really did mess you up. And I'm all like, yeah, they have. Because I just, you know, I know I'm not ugly, but you're never going to hear me, you know, bragging on my beauty because it's just, it wasn't ever developed when I was younger.
Wow.
And that's just one aspect. But when you think about that aspect, you realize it starts to be a domino effect at other places. Yep. So it goes into your money you make. It goes into the men you deal with. It goes into what you do for your friends. You know, it's just, it goes into a lot of different areas. And, I mean, I'm glad I am who I am, and I think I'm better for it. But it takes a long time to realize that you're not as jacked up as you have been portrayed to be in your earlier years.
Wow. And the reason why I say, wow, why this is so important, because my youngest son has experienced bullying on a pretty heavy, deep level. And because he's unique, because he's, you know, his family is unique. And, you know, I never understood it because I'm like, you're beautiful to me. But he is starting to display some of the things that you're talking about. So, you know, it's important, and I appreciate you for sharing that because that's something that I know I'm going to have to put into him and that I'm going to put into him even more and look for, you know, just those little telltale signs that he's getting a lesson or he's not, you know. But it's important that when we do experience these childhood traumas, you got to pay attention to them because they may not have just disappeared. You know what I'm saying? They could be sitting there waiting and lurking, waiting for the opportunity to jump up. So that's a very important one. Thank you so much.
Well, before I go, let me just add this one little bit, because sometimes
Please.
The parent isn't enough. Sometimes it has to be
oh,
the
yeah.
outside world. People who are not
mm-hmm.
really that connected to the family. So if you feel
okay.
you're telling it, but it's just not absorbing, it has to be
uh-huh.
what they call it, third party arbitration buy-in.
Okay. Okay, and I understand.
Because I'm telling you, it didn't adopt for me
yeah.
until it was literally, because my family has always done right by me, no matter how much they get on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
I love them to death, but as much as they get on my nerves, they have always done right by me. And it wasn't until
awesome.
I started realizing the outside world was accepting me the way I am and I'm okay,
mm-hmm.
then it started to
mm-hmm.
feel a little better. And I'm still not there,
okay.
but it started
okay.
to make things a little easier.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, too. I appreciate that, too. You know, so I won't get frustrated in my trying to, what are you talking about? You know, so I will definitely keep that in mind. Definitely. See, thank you so much, family. And everybody knows, all these lessons I take to my heart. I apply to my family. I mean, because these are things that are going to help us on this road called life. So, Sister Melissa, thank you so much, and I will see you very soon. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Okay, peace. All right. Yeah, that worthy thing is... all the angels, I feel a workshop coming on, okay? I feel this workshop coming on. You've got to get this worthy piece in. And that's for all of us. I think everybody has that little thing that they're like, yeah, not so much. You know, they just don't feel that good, warm, fuzzy all the time in that area. So we really need to work on that. Absolutely. Well, I want to say my phone lines are lit. I love to stay with my phone lines because we're getting information to share what we wish we knew. What pieces of advice made a difference to you? How did you grow? So, caller, welcome to the call. Greetings. Greetings.
Peace.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hey. I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. I got
so,
you.
As always, love you dearly. I love the Wonderful Approach family. One of the things that I learned about 10 years ago, I can say, maybe 10 years ago, and
mm-hmm.
I wish I knew when I was a little younger, was that someone else's procrastination is not my emergency.
Mm.
So if you're procrastinating in what you have to do in your home, your relationship, your life goals, that's not an emergency for me because you finally decided to get it, even though all the signs were there for you to get it in line way before that. So learning that was quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a sister girl
tell
me many, many moons ago, we were talking about pulling that red wagon. You know, we all got our wagons to pull. Now, I can roll up on you and help you change your tire if I got the time, give you a spare if I had it. But you don't get to dump all that on me and expect me to continue at the same pace and rate that I was moving before. So it's completely unfair. And it goes back when I look at those situations where people try to dump their wagon. You know, it was really because they were procrastinating on their destiny. And I can help, but I don't have to do everything. So I wish it was something I had knew a little bit sooner. But it's serving its purpose now. It's more difficult when you look at family in those situations. But the handful of friends that I do have become like family. So I'm grateful.
Right.
You know, as far as what I do know, and I will also tell myself something else, that one day you will have a wonderful group of sisters that you can depend on.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because in high school,
yeah.
I was a solo person. I was fine to be by myself. You know, it is what it is. And that was something that I think we had discussed before, that illusion that women can't get along. But that's divide and conquer thing. And even though it took some time at my tender age of 16 to get there, you know, I would tell the younger 16 that, that you will get there. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. So I'm very, very grateful for that in my life now. But I would tell myself that, like, girl, you got this. You're going to be okay. I think that's the biggest thing. You're going to be okay. How the old folks say, trouble don't last always.
Okay.
It don't.
Okay.
It don't.
Okay.
So,
it doesn't.
Again,
it feels like it, though.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, but it don't. You know? And I just give thanks and praise. I'm very, very grateful for you. And for you to just continue to be an inspiration to the inspirational. I thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the support.
Yay.
I don't stand here by myself. I don't stand here by myself. You know, I stand here, you know, with a long list of ancestors behind me, underneath me. And then I've had so many spiritualists, prayer warriors, women, men, spirit pouring into me, not for me to hold, but for me to share. So when I'm sharing, you know, it's obligation, desire, honor, and I can't help myself. So, you know, this is what we do. This is what we do. So thank you so much for sharing. That's serious, family. Other people's procrastination is not your emergency. Other people's anything is not yours. Okay, we have to be very real and very honest about this. Sometimes I hear, so-and-so was going to do that. Okay, but if it's your responsibility, how in the world can you give, you can't give certain responsibilities to other people. They're your responsibilities. Some people aren't even responsible for doing the things that they do for you. If they do it because they're nice, that's wonderful, but that is not their responsibility. All the angels I know, and then coming up at the retreat, you will learn what is your junk and what is somebody else's junk. And anyone that's had two conversations with me knows the difference between the two. You got to be responsible for your junk. Other people's junk is other people's junk. Yeah, that procrastination is like almost a bad word. You know, it's a bad word to me. It should be a bad word to a couple of people because, again, we're going back right back to what Omi Shayun said. You're wasting time, and time is precious. So we're not going to be going back to that. We have learned that procrastinating does not serve us. So other people's procrastination definitely doesn't serve you. Just make sure that when you're making decisions and or mistakes, that they're your decisions and that they're your mistakes. Learn, make sure that you're learning what you need to be responsible for. You can't be responsible for somebody else's lesson, even though we would like to. There are a couple people I would like to stop smoking for them, okay? It doesn't work the same. I don't smoke. You know, doesn't mean anything to me. I can't do it for you. Your lungs are not going to get the benefit of me not smoking. So, you know, that is so important. So thank you, Sister Makita, for calling in and sharing that with us. I'm going to stay with the phone line because, like I said, I'm not going to miss any wisdom, none. And I believe I know this is. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Peace, Alafia, namaste, keep rolling with it, okay? How are you doing,
this
sister?
I'm great. This is unique. And I'm very interested in this topic tonight. I have mixed feelings about it because I've dealt with the issues of wishing and the difference between wishing something and where I'm at right now in my life, where things are being revealed to me. So when you go through the great revolution or revelation, things are revealed to you. And when I'm I think about things that I wish I had or wish I knew, it gives me a different vibration as if I missed something. And I always said and I continue to say that I am a spiritual being having a human experience, which means that my spirit always knew. It just wasn't revealed to my physical self yet. So there was a time that I might not have thought in this physical body that I was beautiful, but my spirit already always knew I was beautiful. My spirit always knew that I was a perfect being because I'm creating in the image of God and in God's likeness. So once I stopped thinking about the things I wish I could have told myself that, no, what you learned when you always knew it, but it's been revealed to you at this time in your life so that you can work with it at this time. Because there's certain things that may not have been able to be revealed to me at a certain age because I wasn't ready for it. And I'm sorry.
No, please continue. Continue, please.
No, I was just saying that, you know, I wasn't ready for it because, trust me, we all know certain things and it's because it's in our spirit. But like Sister Melissa said, you know, about the family, I always say, you know, family's not always the one that you're born into, but it's one that you make. So you might not be able to get her family, and I love her family also. They're great. You know, and you might not get certain things from that family, but you meet a different family that you make that elevates you or helps you reveal those things to uplift your spirit. So for me, it's more—it's not so much as me wishing, but I thank God for the revelations that have come my way, the things that are continuously being revealed for me because that propels me. It gives me a little bit more ease so I'm not going against the current. I'm actually going with the flow of what the universe has for me. I'm going with the flow of what God has for me. I'm going with the flow of what my spirit has, as long as I'm allowing it to reveal. It's like those epiphanies, those aha moments, and they make you feel really, really good, you know. And I can take those things that have been revealed to me and look back and say, that little girl that went through that, you know, it's okay, sister, because this is where we are now. All those things that happened, this is who you are, and I thank God for that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You know, when I think about the thing, of course, no, look, wisdom, appreciation. When I think about the things that I wished for the most, I find these were things that I was resistant to. These were the things that I may not have wanted to see or hear. These were things that, and this is just like, you know, when Melissa was saying, that third party person, that's who you're trying to be right now, okay? So for whatever reason, if this person has this resistance in there, you may be that person to say, hey, look, let me give you this, you know, let me share this with you so that you will have this to pull from, you know, you'll have this as your knowledge base. You could be someone's awakening. So when I think back to the things that I didn't know, I think back to why I didn't know them, and there's a definite reason there. There was a resistance that either I put there or someone else put there. But there is something that's holding that. So there are things that I'm like, even if it were in my spirit, they were dormant. I, the person, didn't have access to it. So that's why I needed this other person to turn the light switch, turn my head 10 degrees to the left and be like, oh, mm-hmm. I see it now. You see what I'm saying? So there are times where we need that. And I know if it was something that I needed, it's something that I could have assisted other people with. And so mm-hmm. I definitely always want to make sure that we're doing our part to share with other people, even if you're like, this should be obvious. You know what I'm saying? This really is, you know, just straight up obvious. It's not always obvious to the person who's wearing it, you know, to the person who's moving in it. You know, one thing that I can say in my lifetime and that I am intentional about sharing with people is that brown-skinned girls need love too, all right? Now, I grew up in a family where me and my sisters were just a couple shades off of each other. I never realized it in my house. It was never brought up in my house. I never felt it. But outside my house, it's a very real fact, very, very real. Mm. And it starts at infancy. I've seen 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds have opinions about color. You know, this light skin versus dark skin thing. And it happens to me, I think the women get it a little bit heavier than the guys do. But it's very, very real. And one of my first jobs growing up, I worked in a daycare. And I could not stand, you know, not on anybody. I don't want you to have snot on your face. I don't want anyone, but with your brown skin and you have seen this child just rub their, I'm like, oh, that has to be washed and lotioned. You know, I spent so much time lotioning little brown faces, kissing on them because they're, even in daycare, there was a difference. There was a difference between the two. They were treated differently by other people. And, it all just ran all over me. So that is something that every little brown-skinned girl that I see, I'm always pouring that in there because I know and I have seen and witnessed there are times where that's not put in properly. You know, they don't have enough of it. Or they've had someone else depleting it constantly. You know, there's a pin someone stuck in and there's a leak. You know what I'm saying? To the point where I have seen beautiful brown-skinned women try to get light-skinned men just so that they don't pass on this dark skin, you know? And so there's a lot of pain mixed up in that. So when you talk about awakening someone, when you talk about, you know, inputting into someone, everyone should do that. Not even with the understanding that it may already be there, but do it with the understanding that I wish someone would have done this for me. I wish somebody would have taken a moment and you know, straightened up my barrettes for me or whatever it took, whatever you were going through, just take that moment out. So you're absolutely correct when it comes to this information. God has given us everything that we need. When we were a little egg, we were a little fetus, we had everything that we needed. We were going to eventually grow and evolve to the point where we were fully functioning infants, ready to be born. We were going to grow in from babies to toddlers to children. We were always evolving, and God has given us everything that we need to do so. But because of the world that we're living in these the sicknesses that are just floating around, us bearers of light have to go and take an extra step and say, hey, look, you are a light being. you are a spiritual being having this human experience. Don't let this human experience take you out. Don't let them do it. They'll try. So you are absolutely correct, sister. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. So, yeah. All right, Bushwoman. Love you, love you, love you. And, you know, like I said, we all have to grow. We all have to grow. And we all have a responsibility to ourselves to grow. If there's something that you're not getting, look and see if you've got your own resistance up. I know back in the day, and of course, before we get too late, this is an interactive show. Please press 1. We have had some super duper dynamite callers call in saying, hey, look, this is what I wish I knew. This is what my spirit could have used more of this. You know, my spirit could have used more of that, you know. And, of course, all of our experiences equal the person that we are today. There are also ways that we can get help in being this person that we are today. And I think it's important that we do, because negativity is on a mission. We got to get on an even stronger mission. We got to really, really work through and pass some things. So press 1. We're in the last couple minutes of the show, because let me tell you, some things change and some things do not. You got to get that prayer in. That prayer helps us to get everything good. It helps us in our spirit. I hope that the prayer, my prayer for the prayer, is that either it's a prayer that you haven't heard before and you're like, wow, you know, I wonder what this is about. I want to learn more. Or it's a prayer, say, oh, I remember that prayer. I remember this is the prayer that, you know, I would hear my grandma say, or I would hear grandpa say, or whatever. You know, I hope the prayer jogs something in your spirit to where you're like, you know what, I could take 5 or 10 minutes out of my day and make prayer. I could take an extra 2 minutes. I tell people, you brush your teeth longer than you make prayers. Come on. You know, I could take that time out to build and nurture that relationship with spirit. So we all have this responsibility. Prayer is not just something that would be cool. Prayer is a responsibility that each of us have. And the more that you begin to understand, you know, just like sharing with Bush Woman, we have responsibilities to each other. We have responsibilities to God. You know, God is waiting for us to do these things. You know, every time, you know, God gives us, I talk about the 100 points of light, okay? Each one of us has at least 100 people that we are going to inspire one way or another. We will inspire people to do the right thing. We will inspire people to do the wrong thing. Hopefully not too much of that. We'll inspire people to push harder. No matter what, there are 100 people that will light their candle from our flame. Well, we don't get to choose who. We don't get to choose when. We don't get to choose what part of our life these 100 people are going to come into our being. So we need to be this light, period, in hope that your 100 people are getting to see the positive things out there. Part of your 100 people that you're going to inspire could be the ones that hear you make the prayer on the radio. Because like I said, the show gets hundreds of listeners. Having that prayer heard could give that inspiration to them and give them more to think about, give them more to reflect on, help to rekindle that relationship with God. That's part of your 100 people. That is awesome. So when I start calling people and saying, hey, I got you down for prayer on this night, you know, I really want you to get ready, you know, because I am going to be calling people and I am going to be reaching out. And I love it when people have different types of prayer, because that's what we're doing. That's what the show's about. It is about inspiring. It's about assisting. It's about working with people. It's about giving people those tidbits of information that will help them live better lives, easier lives, because sometimes, you know, this world does get heavy. This world does get tiring. It gets dark. It gets whatever. And so it is always helpful to have a place where you know you can get some light. You know, you can get some love. You know, you can get all these positive things that are going to work for you. So, yes, we will be wrapping up shortly so that we can get to our prayer, hoping that it's going to be that inspiration for people that come onto the show. So this is I don't want to say last call, but yeah, you get the point. This, if you'd like to say the last words, you get press one that lets me know that you'd like to speak. This was a great show. I really do appreciate everybody that checked in with us. Trying to think of the last words about what I wish I knew. Now, the unconditional love guru, it has not pressed one, so I'm not going to put her on the spot. But one of the things that I wish I knew is that everybody doesn't understand love. Everybody doesn't truly understand love. And that's one thing that I wish I knew earlier. I have an understanding of love. I think I know what it is in general. I think I understand how it works in general. You know, I definitely can't call myself a guru at all. But I wish that everyone else, I wish that I knew that everyone else didn't know what love was either. People use this word so loosely that the word itself almost loses the true impact that it's meant to have. So when I'm thinking about things that I wish I knew, I wish that I knew at a young age that my understanding of love and everyone else's understanding of love may not be the same thing, you know. And you would think, oh, everybody knows that 7. I did not. You know, growing up in an environment that greatly promoted love and self-love and loving thy brother and sister and truly seeing people be loved and loved on, I did not understand that everyone was not having the same experience. And I did not understand that everyone was not walking around being raised by a love guru, an unconditional love guru. So that not having that knowledge, there were many things in life that confused me. Why are you acting like this? And then you say that you love this person, or why are you acting like this? You say you love yourself, you know. And so there's so many contradictions that come up when you're speaking about love that I wish, one, that I knew that everyone wasn't raised by a love guru. And then two, I wish I could share what that feels like, what it's like to be raised in that environment. So, I think I've said some magic words. I know this phone call. This is Mama Khadija checking in with us. Yay! Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, 7. Greetings, family. I said I wouldn't be far away. I didn't quite make it at 8 o'clock because I am preparing for the super retreat that's going to take place this weekend. But I just had to say something that it's kind of been an awakening for me over the past 10 years. And if I could do something all over again, and if I could encourage young people or younger people, I would encourage you to take chances. Take those risks. Do what you're supposed, what you want to do, even if people don't support you or don't understand why you're doing it. Live your life. Be your authentic self. That's the first thing. Now, I haven't had an issue because I've been a risk taker, and I've taken my chances, and I've had some good times with taking chances and some iffy times with taking chances, but I got the lesson, and that's always good. The second thing I want to remind the younger authors to do is to have fun. Now, that can sound strange coming from, you know, somebody who most people see as a very serious person. Yes, I am very serious. I think I'm too serious most of the time. And if I could go back over my life and do it all over again, which I want to have an opportunity to anyway, I would have more fun. You know, however I define, now I'm 70 and I'm talking about having fun, but if I don't do it quickly, I'm going to have some limitations here. But have fun, you know. Don't take yourself and others so seriously. Let your hair down, laugh out loud with your mouth wide open, stomp your feet, you know, whatever. Have fun. Have fun because fun brings about joy. I'm not talking about doing crazy things. I'm not talking about doing anything illegal. Right. And I'm talking about really feeling good and being able to walk away from an evening or an afternoon and say, man, that was fun. That, you know, it wasn't about a cause. It wasn't about, you know, world peace or, you know, feeding the babies or saving the children at the border. It was just fun, you know. We need that balance. And I have struggled with that balance, you know, for a long time. And like I said, about 10 years ago, I had an awakening. And it's just catching up with me now. So I am really, really planning on having some fun, y'all. So anybody wants to have any fun with me, come on, because I'm going to have some fun now. Because I see the importance of it. I see the value of having fun. And I just want to encourage other people, have fun. Have fun. So I have enjoyed what I heard of the show. As usual, you are right on point. The call is right on point. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're always welcome here. Understand that. Okay? Understand that. It was wonderful having you on the call. Just like old times, like last week. But thank you so much, Mama Khadija.
All right.
But she said some words right there too, family. And that's a wonderful way to move into our prayer. But that balance, whew. I know people that work 50, 60 hours a week. I'm one of them right now. Lord have mercy. I've had a change in my family dynamic, and it threw me, and I am out of balance. Been out of balance for about, 2 months, 3 months? And struggling to get that balance back. Work is not about, life is not about work. Life is not about work. It is about having balance in there, fun in there, education in there, all kinds of stuff. So absolutely, that was very key, balance, because if we go too far, even on the fun side, then we're not getting our work done, then we're being irresponsible and all this other stuff. So having the balance between the two is so very important. Thank you for reminding us about that, Mama Khadija. I know, I mean, I had a sister call me and say, you were out of balance. I said, Lord, I'm trying so hard to keep myself together here, okay? So, that balance, so very important. Whether you're missing the fun part, whether you're missing the balance with the discipline part, no matter what you're missing, if you're missing something, if you're off in one place, you're off in all the places. I know right before I turned 40, I had to focus on myself physically. I had to get my physical self in order. I had gone too far between weight and stress and weight and sodas. Too far. I had gone too far. Now, as I'm about to tip over into 50, even spiritually, they're adding different things to me. I can feel myself being expanded. I can see that they are pulling more here and less there. And I know that Spirit's way of balancing me and aligning me and adding even more to my spiritual development, my development as a woman, my development as a spiritual leader, you know, all of these things are coming into in an alignment. And so it is an absolute wonderful thing. And when you know that God is working with you, you can be patient with that. When you know that, when you know, we told everybody at the beginning of the year, get ready for the transition because it's going to be real. I mean, I remember the show just feeling electric because there were so many different changes that were coming about. And so this is where we are. We were always going to get here. But since we're here, since we're at this place where we're working on ourselves, let's add in this good information. Let's add in these important key facts that we wish we would have had before. You know, everyone is working on different levels. So depending on where you are in your life, balance might be, you might think that's impossible, but it may be the very thing that you're needing, you know. So I just want to say thank you to all the callers that called in. This has been a wonderful show. I'm so glad that I had that help in there. My sister, Omi Shayun, said, hey, good job. Keep it up. I said, okay, I got it. I'm keeping. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Getting to this prayer part, the ever so important prayer part. Family, I cannot stress to you how important it is to keep your prayers high. Keep them high. Keep them on deck. Allow them to influence you. I've had prayers that I've said for decades. But I will realize, I come into the realization of something 5 years ago. I said, man, have I been saying it wrong for 30 years? And no, I haven't saying it wrong. I just haven't been hearing it right. It didn't hit me. It didn't come into my spirit all the way. And as I grow, these words change because I've changed. I've become more enlightened or however it works. So I just want to continue to encourage everyone. And this prayer that I'm offering is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is something that my great aunt, Mommy Neal, had posted in her house along with a number of other things. I've heard this prayer forever, but whenever I think about it, I think about her and her the fantastic life she lived. She was a spicy firecracker of a woman. Whenever I start to feel some kind of way, like, oh, I'm not dealing with this no more, my great aunt wouldn't deal with it. Why I got to deal with it? You know, so she inspires me. She is the one where I can say, hey, look, if it gets rough and bumpy, hey, deal with it, because she was that example for me. And she lived her life. She lived her life. So I say the Lord's Prayer with her in my mind and my spirit, and also just recognizing the very strong women and men that I have in my family that allow me to do the things that I do and give me that encouragement and support in doing it. So the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.